Welcome to Spirit Talk
with Syl and Jay. Welcome to Spirit Talk. I am Syl.
I'm Jay, and I'm a certified psychic medium and intuitive consultant. I'm also a natural healer as well as an author.
And today we're going to talk about what is a psychic medium.
Yeah, so everybody's a psychic. They were blessed with the ability of being able to listen and pay attention to your intuition, also free will. I believe good is good choices and bad is bad choices. For instance, 101 psychic development is about paying attention to impressions and things that tend to come over and over again.
So
it's something to listen to.
So what are impressions?
Impressions are like thoughts or an idea, symbols, those kinds of impressions.
Can it be a thought? Can it be
kind
of like a picture or in your mind?
So a thought is something, if you cannot dismiss it in your mind, and it keeps coming over and over again, it's something to pay attention to. It's usually either preparing you for something or warning you of something.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to also get into some symbols later on, but symbols can be numbers. It could be, what else it could be?
Like what kind it could of be symbols? Feathers. It could be coins. It could be clouds, numbers.
Things that you would notice over and over.
Yes. Some of the things that we stay away from, that could open up potential problems as portals, bad things like that, like Ouija boards. If you don't know what you're doing and you practice protecting or with protection, you can open up potentially portals to allow dark spirit or entities into your life. And then that's what is called attachments.
Well, that's why you need schooling, for one. You need to get to know what it is and how to become one and what kind of gifts you have. Because not everybody is a medium.
No. And the first thing I remember, you know, being in class, is one of the first things that was told to us is that everyone is in control. And we're going to talk a little bit now about spirit and examples. So for me anyway, between the ages of 3 and 4 years old, I started seeing a dark entity. It was a shadow-like form. It was like the cartoon characters Tom and Jerry. Tom, I believe, is a cat. In one episode, he became extremely angry with some fangs. And that's how I remember my first interaction with spirit. It scared me. And
how often did you see it?
It seemed like when I was younger, quite often. And I remember, you know, hiding underneath my covers for a long time. And it would always come out of my closet for some reason. And always late at night. And there was times where I hopped in my parents', you know, bed with them too, because I was frightened. Later on, I've learned, about 10 years old, it stopped. I closed down that ability. I wasn't able to see spirit as much as I did. And I've learned later on through classes and stuff that we're always in control. And when something doesn't feel right, or you're being like what I consider spiritually attacked, to cross your arms and your legs. And what that does is it closes off energy, connection, until you feel safe again. And then you release your arms and your legs and try it again.
So you're always in control. And you can always stop.
And you can always ask spirit. And the key is the word ask is key. To ask spirit to leave me alone, to go away. You're not welcomed. And a lot of times spirit they respect our decisions and our choices, and they leave us alone. Those that don't are what I call dark entities, dark spirits,
attachments,
and attachments, and they tend to keep attacking, and that's where the key is of protecting yourself. A lot of times, and we'll get into it later on, is about stones and crystals and things of that nature.
And meditation.
And meditation is huge.
Now, do you meditate before every single reading?
Yes, I do. I do about a 20 to 30 minute meditation to calm my mind, to see clearly, to be able to focus through my third eye, the impressions that I'm getting, visualizations.
I've seen you hold crystals to help with that. There's some crystals that'll open up.
Yeah, there's so many different crystals. We can get into so many. But anyway, yeah, I keep certain ones that I'm intending or sending my intentions for. And I usually open up with a opening prayer, and I always ask, you know, my higher spirit or guide, loved ones, archangels, things of that nature, to come in to help me to be able to give my client the highest reading message that I can from my higher self. And
when you meditate, you tend to be closest with the other side, basically. So that's how you get some impressions prior to even reading, right?
Yeah, so working with spirit, it's communication. It's talk. It's playing detective. It's asking the questions of who, why, what, where, how, when. And I remember Stephen Robinson, my mentor, my teacher and friend. And I remember him going around the classroom asking everybody how we received our messages. And he came about me. And I have what's called, I believe, claircognizance, which is a clear knowing. I'm not sure if I said that right or not, but it's a clear knowing that I get. And usually I'll get spirit in. I'll ask spirit, okay, man, woman. You can start off simple, man, woman. How are you related to the person? Is there anything you want to show me, like as far as like physically, you know, how they passed away? And then what is your message for that person? So that's usually how the order comes in for me anyway when giving readings.
Yeah. So when you start talking about whatever that they say, and then the people actually say no, like they don't understand what you're trying to tell them, because whether those things haven't happened yet or they're not connecting the dots.
I get a lot of times where people come to me for a reading, and while I'm giving them messages and readings from spirit, they're unable to recognize them or connect with them. It's not until later on down the road where they come back either for another reading or down the road just, you know, letting me know as confirmation that the person that I talked about, they now know who I was talking about. Some things don't make sense at first. And I always say to people to allow time for things to unravel and unfold. So just because something doesn't make sense to you right now, don't dismiss it, because I feel everything is given to you for a reason. I don't believe in coincidences, and I believe that I am receiving these messages for a reason to be able to give to the other person.
Yeah, so if someone says no, it's cutting off that energy. So it's best to say, let me think about it, or, you know, just think about it and see what happens. Just keep listening.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, we'll get into also is the left and right side of your brain. And every time I've had a client say no, it's like I had to switch back and forth from left back to right brain, you know, and it's like a little distraction. That's why for me personally, I have a hard time reading for somebody face to face and looking at their face, because number one, a lot of times I can read somebody like a book and they pass by me like a movie. Also, their facial expressions tend to be a distraction. So I tend not to choose to look at people's faces as I'm giving readings because it'll throw me off and I'll have to keep fighting back and forth, left to right, you know, brain. And I want to be able to stay connected. So a lot of times my guides are very strong and straightforward. They don't take crap. So if somebody keeps saying no, I just keep pushing through anyway, keep pushing forward. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's something behind it. Even though it may not make sense to me, it may make sense to the other person. Or if not right at that time, it will down the road.
Yeah, and you've said so many times that had happened where they just come back to you and say, oh my God, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they're like, oh, the white car or the pizza or the things that they were like, what are you talking about? And they come back.
So that's why meditation is highly important for mediums. And if you do get a reading from people, make sure that they meditate. If they say that they don't, I wouldn't go to them because who knows where they're getting their sources and their connections from.
And they need to be protected, which is why you meditate.
That's very important.
Now, I've heard about seances and message circles. How do you do that? Can you give us a little insight on that? What is it?
I kind of got a smile on my face because a lot of people, when they hear seance or message circle, they automatically think witches, craft, you know, think of that, things of that nature. And if you go to somebody who's reputable and who has been trained properly, who becomes basically a certified conductor, they're the ones that lead the circles and the seances, and they know how to ask for protection as well as for everyone else. And sometimes you'll go to one, and it's called an open message circle, where basically one person at a time, you know, they connect with people who are in that circle. It's best to everybody be somewhat meditated, and usually what happens is the conductor will put on a meditation and kind of guide people in throughout the meditation. So that way it's safe to be able to relax everyone and to be able to open minds. It's very difficult to read for somebody who's closed-minded or who is, I consider, ignorant. And they're there to just test.
They don't really believe.
Yeah, they're not big believers, which is okay because, you know, eventually I love stories down the road that these non-believers and ignorant people show up and the things that you have said, you know, come to fruition. So it's all good. And one of the things that we do during a message circle too is we all put our names out there into what we call the universe and our energy. It creates vibration. So when you put your name and say it out loud in a circle, you're putting your vibration out there. And it's a lot easier to connect.
Now, what do you mean by saying the name? Your name or?
Yes, your personal name.
Okay. So you, the conductor?
Would ask everybody to say their name out loud.
Oh, okay.
And go around a circle.
Okay. Yeah, and then the spirit can actually, whoever that is there can be connected to the right spirit.
Now, one of the things that my school pretty much taught us not to do, and I don't see it as a bad thing, and that's called piggybacking. And what that is say I give Syl a message, and she receives it, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes in after me and has the same thing, basically, to say to Syl. They're basically what I feel feeding off of me to give Syl more of a message that I just said. Which is okay to a point, as long as you're using your own intuition and you're not just,
I guess,
channeling off somebody else.
Now, you're talking about seances, message circle,
or
because, like when...
Seances, so here's the difference that I can think of, because I've been to both. Seances are usually ran by a conductor. There's only one person that goes around the circle and gives messages to everyone, usually. Message circles are usually open, and we all do kind of a meditation to get into that zone or into the right brain to be able to receive messages from spirit and to be able to relay the messages to people.
Yes, I do remember being in one, a message circle. And I was part of the seance that that you actually had that one time. So I was there, kind of witness of how it was done. And you were kind of going into trance. So you're more like a trance medium.
Yeah. So when I was about 6 years old in elementary school and first grade, I was diagnosed with panic attacks and anxieties. And so usually when I'm in an audience or something, I tend to panic. And that then brings me into this other mode that I can't really describe, but it feels like I am being taken over by a higher vibrational spirit that uses my body as a vessel to be able to channel messages to people. And it's basically like I'm standing sleeping and I don't know what's said, what's done. All I know is I get the confirmations after the show when everything's said and done and over with. But at that time, I'm completely drained. I want to go to bed and I just want to get out of there. So it's very energy draining. But at the same time, you're allowing someone else to talk and, you know.
Another thing is you don't remember.
I don't.
Because you weren't really fully there. I mean, you were there, but you weren't really there.
Right.
You weren't giving the messages.
Yeah, in and out.
Yeah.
So, which is great. So basically being paid to sleep.
Yeah. Which we all love to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're still doing what, you know, you're meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you sense spirit? How do you sense? Sometimes you sense your daughter or your mom.
Yeah, so everyone comes in differently. And for like my mom, she was a smoker, but she always wore heavy perfume. So whenever I smell, which is clear scent, I really smell her smoky perfume. And I know it's mom. And I also feel, for me, chills as well as some warmth. Sometimes either on my face, it's like her giving me a kiss, or she's putting her hand on my shoulder. My daughter, she tends to come in when I'm vulnerable a lot, or she sends me symbols like heart shapes. And then I know it's my daughter. For a lot of people, like their grandparents, they come in as blue jays or cardinals, sometimes butterflies or dragonflies. It's their way of showing you that they're around and that it's them, because they had some specific thing that they loved while they were here on the physical plane that is in remembrance or reference to them.
Yeah, my dad that passed last year, he loved animals, but he loved birds, any type of birds or dragonflies, anything like that. And sometimes I do sense that he's around me when I see something like that, especially dragonflies, for some odd reason. Now, he was a bird lover, but also I could just see the love of these creatures, these birds and animals that he just adored. You could just see it in his face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I see something that I know he loved, I just automatically think of him. Now, sometimes I feel like he's with me. It's just a feeling, but sometimes you don't really know if it's true or not, or if it's just your thinking. You could be just thinking of them. But sometimes it's a real sense, like you're actually sensing, like, okay, he's with me. And I do had that quite a bit in the last, like, year.
Well, that's a great way to look at it, because it's what people feel. It's all about free will. It's what they believe in, you know. And for me, like my daughter, I know when she's around, because she's a kidster too, you know, she's a jokester. And I know particularly I believe that we still continue to learn, even in the, I call it the spirit world. And I believe that there's constantly lessons and teachings that we learn even there too. Even as like learning how to make things move and using that ability, being able to communicate that way to us that are still here on the physical plane. My daughter, for instance, loves to play with lights, the flickering of them on and off. She also likes to tip things over and make things drop, or interfere sometimes with communication, microphones and things of that nature. Definitely. So she loves to play games like that. And I know it's her, and that's her loving way of saying, I'm here, Dad. So,
well, she was a very playful girl, very loving and playful for what you told me. So that was her way of still being who she was, because she is.
Yeah, and so that's a good point you brought up, too, because a lot of people tend to think that, you know, when you die, that's it, you know, or there's heaven and hell. I personally believe, and these are my own beliefs, that we go to a spirit world where everybody goes, and it depends on your vibrations, how high or low it is. You got to be able to be on the same frequency as a medium to be able to connect with that spirit. And a lot of times us mediums, because we do meditate and we protect ourselves and things of that nature, that we're a higher vibration. So they either have to meet our vibrations or, you know, they're there. So going back on that, it's what everybody, you know, believes or feels. It's their own personal way of feeling. That's all about free will.
Yeah, I believe that we're all connected. I think all the universe, all the spirits, the everything is just connected. It's kind of like, it's unique. It's very unique. So, which is why sometimes people don't realize the gifts that they have, because they're not really there. They're not connected. But once they start researching and really studying that, and you know, maybe they want to go to school for it and see what kind of gifts they have. And come to find out, they have more than one. They have different things they never knew. Like, I know I'm a healer. I've been told many times.
And you just touched on a good subject, too. So there's a book called If You Hear Something Three Times, Listen. I'll have to get the book out one time and read it. Who it's by, I forgot. It's been so long. But anyway, so usually when you get a sign from somebody that says something and it happens more than once, start paying attention, because that's usually your higher power or your spirit guide's way of, you know, communicating through other people to let you know which path to go on and what to listen to. So usually that's why I say, if you hear something more than once, pay attention to it. Now, if you can dismiss it and it goes away and it doesn't come back, then that wasn't meant for you. So it's good to ask questions. And again, I'm going to say that word a lot, is ask, because that is key when asking for prayer and things.
Well, the thing is too, is I do believe that if you do not ask, they can't be there. They can't, because you have free will. Mm-hmm. So if you do not ask, they can't help you. They can't communicate the same way. So I do believe it's very crucial that you do.
Yes, and one of the things that, you know, even though I've been doing this 9 years professionally, I'm still learning. There's so much and so many different ways to go in. And I just learned within over the year, you know, about prayer is calling upon your guides, your loved ones, archangels, ancestors, things of that nature.
There's so many podcasts that we're going to have about those things too, like archangels, the different types, and, you know, they're there to help us.
Yeah.
And our guides, everyone has guides, some one, some two, some seven.
Well, I believe, you know, if we're called upon this, there's so many different, you know, ways we can go about this, and we just don't have all the time in the world for this right now. But spirit guides, past lives, Akashic readings, I Ching readings. There's just so many different ways to learn about yourself and about this subject matter that it's never ending, and you're always constantly learning.
I have been searching for basically who I am. What am I meant to do on this earth? And what is my gift? What are my gifts, if not one? And ever since you came into my life, it's just been opening up and opening up. And I can't describe the amount of knowledge that I have just gotten in within a year, especially within 6 months. But within a year, it's just been building blocks. And I feel like, you know, I'm on the verge of really opening up fully, but it takes time. So if you are, you know, if you think that you might have a gift of mediumship or psychic, any type of gifts, definitely want to go to school for it to get to know what it actually is and how to protect yourself. It's not something you do by yourself. Don't do that. You can open up some portals, or you can open up, actually you can get in touch with spirits that are not high vibrational. So you're actually going to do the opposite of what you were meant to do. So definitely seek out a schooling.
I every day talk to my male best friend, and I love him like a brother. And a lot of discussions that we have are about that kind of thing. And I wanted to give a little background on where I'm coming from. And that is that I was brought up Southern Baptist, and they believe everything is word per word, that the Bible is 100%. And I always had this feeling like, you know, I was different. I wasn't from around here. I felt like the black sheep of the church. And I felt like all the messages were directed towards me. Like, I'm going to go to hell for believing in what I do. And so where I'm going with that is you touched on a subject that triggered this for me to think of.
Well, when you started the school, mm-hmm. How did you feel when you walked in there?
Yeah, so that's crucial. When I walked into the school, I felt like I could finally be me. And what I say are my own personal beliefs and what I resonate with. So that being said, a lot of stuff that was talked about in school, I agree with, and I back up my school 100%. I finally felt like I found a place that I felt home. One of the things that I want to touch on real quickly was about how it was taught to me and resonated with me is that everyone is born with at least one guide. And that guide has been in the spirit world for at least 400 years before they're even able to become a guide for you. A lot of times guides are either one of two things. They're either drawn to you or they're assigned to you. Which kind of goes into another subject, and that's past lives, you know, and reincarnation and things of that nature. So the more you listen in, the more you tune into us, the more that we'll get into depths with other subjects and talk about.
Yeah, of what relates to this.
Those who are listening, you know, I want to put out there too that there's a couple things. One is these psychic mediums out there that are on TV, on the air, you know, kind of well known. My favorite one, and this is just my own personal, I love John Edwards. I look at him as a true mentor. The guy follows true ethics. He's a true professional. A lot of people that I've noticed, and this is my own opinion, again, I feel are on the verge of possibly being fraudulent. And what I mean by that is they don't practice ethics. I feel a lot of them are about ego and greed. And they're not doing it
for the right reasons.
For the right reasons. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Fame, greed, acknowledgement, ego. So, and those I want to cut down. And those are the type of people that put us, you know, like me and other guys that are trying to do something, you know, a bad name.
Yeah.
And we're not here for that. We're here to help. If you get a psychic medium that claims to be, and they come up to you and they say, you know, do you have a grandmother in spirit? Number one, that's fishing for information. You're not asking. Or you're asking, but not in the right way. So for me, I come off and say, I'm getting a spirit, a woman figure, feels like a grandmother on, you know, and then I distinguish it, and then I am asking spirit, okay, is it from maternal side or is it paternal side? You know, so there's the big difference is going and saying, do you have a grandmother, compared to I'm getting a grandmother feeling.
Yeah, you're not fishing for information. You're actually telling them what you're getting.
Right.
Which is the right way to do it.
And there's
there to have you tell them, not them tell you.
And there's a correct way of going about it, too. Like, I see some of these mediums that have fame and everything that just walk right up to people and just start giving readings. To me, that's very unprofessional and very unethical. And there's proper ways of going about it, you know. And we were taught that if I had a message to somebody, spirit will tend to push you to give a message sometimes. Sometimes they're pushy. And if I say was in the mall and I was walking down the hallway and I seen this person and I walked up to him and I would say, I first of all, I would hand him my card and I would say, you know, I'm a professional certified psychic medium. I have a message. Would you like to receive it? Instead of just walking up to somebody and saying, I have a message for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, unprofessional.
Right.
They're looking at you like, who are you?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
maybe
that's correct.
It's a joke. Sometimes they'll say stuff like that.
Yeah.
You shy away from doing that. I remember one time we were eating at a diner and you kept looking over at this couple with a child and you said that someone was coming through, but you were trying to push that away because we're trying to have a dinner or lunch or whatever.
Yes. Sometimes being in tune is also picking up on other people. So like when I was getting a bad feeling like these people would be closed-minded, that holds me back from being able to relay a message sometimes. And sometimes I'll talk and work with spirit like, you know, I don't feel that they're ready to hear this, you know, and I'm getting this feeling and sense that they're not open-minded to it. I won't proceed and go forward with the message. I'll kind of hold back. So I kind of get a sense of people too, and that's part of being an empathic sensitive. I'm extremely empathic and sensitive to my surroundings and the way people act, their characteristics, their behavior. And that's another thing that I want to touch on real quickly too, is that when we pass, we take our characteristics and our behaviors with us. And I always say to people who are confused about, you know, what happens to them after life, we still continue with life after we pass from the physical world. For me, the way I look at it is, I feel personally that I don't just die. I want to be able to help my loved ones or friends or people who need help here still in some way or another, whether it be sending signs or symbols or communicating through someone else. You know, I want to be able to try and help people who are still down here. But I feel this is a great segment to be able to open up this spirit talk and introduce ourselves. And
we'll add some jokes here and there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We won't be so serious.
No. People are growing with us. We're just starting out here, folks. So bear with us.
It's fun.
So this is all new
but
to
also
us.
But we're helping people understand. And
absolutely. And yeah. I feel that's great, too, is being authentic, you know. Mm-hmm. Not having to be textbook. And that's something that, you know, that triggered me from a thought that I forgot about earlier. I would rather listen to somebody who's lived life on life's terms than somebody who's read something from a book. Anybody can read from books. I believe unless you've experienced it yourself, mm-hmm. you have no right to say I can understand it or I can relate. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I'm not going to listen to anybody who's read up on being a psychic and then claims that they are one and then goes out there and tries to be professional about it and charge money. I want to know somebody's legit, that somebody's properly trained, and who meditates and knows how to protect themselves.
Speaking of books, you wrote one not too long ago, and it's under Jason Bowers, The Life and Struggles of an Extremely Sensitive Empathic Psychic Medium. Yes, it's long. But if you go on Amazon and put in Jason Bowers, it'll pop right up. It's a must read. It's actually, I think you've read it. You've read your own book for like probably four or five times.
And people, I'm not a reader. I don't read books.
And he's read it like five times. And definitely I have read as well. And I already knew a lot of it since he was writing it. He was sharing with me a lot of actually things that are not even in there. Because it's just so much one can write in a book. There's just so much more details and stuff. So this is definitely one of many that you will be writing. But if you'd like to purchase one, it's on Kindle edition. So you go on Amazon and you can purchase it on an ebook or a hard copy or a paperback.
Yeah, the book was a 7-year project for me. There was a lot of tough moments in it. I only finished high school and barely did that. I didn't go on and get educated from college. I wrote it to the best that I could, that I know how to, very easy to read.
You did have a learning disability, so.
Yes, I have learning disabilities as well. And I wanted to make it an easy read, but something that was simple to follow. Mm-hmm. And
it's to the point.
To the point, and just touches surfaces of things. I didn't go into in depths with a lot of things. I just kept things simple. I was getting tired. I wanted to finish this book up. It's been a long process, a long road for it. And
Very emotional.
And I wanted to be able to release a lot of weight lifted off of my shoulders. And it was very therapeutic for me. And I wanted to help others, too, to be able to either write their own story and have it published, or for themselves, or to be able to pass along. But to me, I just felt like it was very healing and therapeutic to get that stuff on paper and out, and to let others know that they're not alone.
Yeah, because you went through a lot. So, well, I think we're going to stop here, and we're going to pick up next week on another topic, which we will let you guys know. We haven't decided yet. There's so many topics, but definitely relating to being a psychic medium.
Absolutely. It was a great talk with you, so.
You too. Let's go have some chocolate.
Okay.
I'm Syl.
I'm Jay. And that concludes today's segment on Spirit Talk.